The following podcast of SB Nation Radio is brought to you by BetDSI.com. With the NFL and college football seasons here, it's time to take that pigskin knowledge to the bank at BetDSI.com. With 20 years in the business, an impeccable reputation for great service, fast payouts, and an excellent mobile interface where you can play, win, and get paid, it's a no-brainer. BetDSI.com is the place to go. They have every wager option you could ever want or even imagine. And if you're watching a game, you can use BetDSI's live betting option to bet on the fly. Whether it's the NFL, college football, Major League Baseball, the NBA, the UFC, esports, global sports, or even politics, celebrities. I mean, really, it doesn't matter. Whatever you feel like betting on, BetDSI has it for you. You get started today with BetDSI, you can get some extra bang for your buck, too. They're offering double your money for your first deposit. That's right, deposit to start winning and get up to $2,500 free. That's double your money right from the get-go. So what are you waiting for? Double your bankroll right now by joining BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101. The games are more fun when you get paid, so play at BetDSI.com. That's BetDSI.com and use promo code NATION101.
This is SB Nation AM,
another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio. It's SB Nation AM, Tony D and Ron Culver. We're going to get to Kareem Hunt, as he has signed a one-year deal with the Cleveland Browns. John Dorsey making statements yesterday. We will get to those. I want to start this hour giving a shout-out once again to the Tennessee Volunteers basketball team, head coach Rick Barnes, and the number one team in the country. They have won 18 straight games. This is, I will tell you, I live in SEC country, and outside of Kentucky and occasionally Florida, sometimes some of these other schools will jump up and make a little bit of a name. A lot of SEC basketball over the last few years has been unwatchable, especially at Tennessee. And now they have put together a team that is really fun to watch. If you don't watch SEC hoops, trust me, they've got a game coming up against Kentucky this weekend. If it's on, watch it. Tennessee is a really fun basketball team to watch. I got two great players in Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield. And I'm not a Tennessee fan. I went to South Carolina. I love SEC football. And SEC basketball I can tolerate. My brother went to Kentucky. And my brother he lives and breathes Wildcats. He knows even like the recruiting and all of that. But outside of that, and my wife's a Florida Gator, and so they've won some national championships. But outside of that, like Ben Simmons playing at LSU is kind of a bust. Mississippi State has had some good years. But for the most part, SEC basketball doesn't live up to any sort of like super entertainment level. And now Tennessee has got a team that does exactly that. I don't know if they're national championship good because the tournament is quirky, so it's hard to make that kind of prediction. They should at least be in the SEC title game, championship game in Nashville coming up in about a month. Well, they'll probably maybe play Kentucky because Kentucky tends to win that thing. But just to give Rick Barnes a lot of credit, was at Clemson, went to Texas, and now Tennessee. When he took over Tennessee, I kind of thought, well, you're not really going to a basketball school, man. You're going to a football school and a women's basketball school. Not much on the Tennessee men's side, although they did make an Elite Eight run a couple of years ago under Kunzo Martin. But Rick Barnes has done a masterful job with this basketball team. So, like I said, just a little pump. Watch Kentucky and Tennessee coming up this weekend. I tell you, you will not be disappointed watching the Volunteers play basketball. Coming up, Kareem Hunt has now found a home with the Cleveland Browns. What does it say about him, the league, the Browns? We'll hear from John Dorsey coming up next. It is SB Nation AM, SB Nation Radio.
Now, This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, so former Kansas City Chiefs running back Kareem Hunt has landed a new job with the Cleveland Browns. Oh, he'll have to earn his way. Oh, no. They're not giving him a starting role. He's not going to supplant Nick Chubb or anything. Don't you worry about that. He'll have to earn his way onto the team. But John Dorsey is giving him a shot. He's the former Chiefs general manager. He drafted Kareem Hunt, believes in second chances and whatnot. Now, remember the Hunt story, right? In February of last year, he shoved and kicked a woman. They caught it on videotape. Nobody knew about it until TMZ found it, released it. The Chiefs asked him about it. He lied about it. The Chiefs released him. He'd been out of football that whole time until he recently signed this gig, and now we'll have a chance to get back on an NFL roster. He is still on the commissioner's exempt list, which means he has to get off of that before he can be officially reinstated. However, he'll be allowed to, you know, reasonably attend team meetings, be part of the organization in some capacity. So he could be ready when that finally happens. What punishment is coming down the line, we'll wait and see. But I do know this. The Chiefs did not believe in him enough that when he lied to them that they were willing to overlook that and give him a second chance. They released him. They released him in a playoff race, in a race for the division, in a race to win a Super Bowl, and he could have helped them, but they released him. They didn't like the optics of it. They didn't like him lying. They didn't like how this played out, and so they released him. It may take some people like John Dorsey who kind of can see beyond that and say, listen, we'd like to get him some help. We'd like him to get help. We'd like to give him a second chance to sort of rehabilitate and make amends for this. Okay, listen, if you're the Browns, is this a good look or a bad look, given that they just came off a season, Ron, where they have a good look? People like what the Browns are doing. They like where the Browns are going. Does this set them back because people are now like, ugh, here are the Browns giving a guy like that a second chance?
Well, I mean, we were talking about this before the show, and I think out of all the NFL teams he could have gone to, I think the Browns are the safest, just because, you know, there is a feeling of, what's the word I'm looking for? That feeling, like, you know, the Browns can't really do anything wrong because the Browns have been the Browns for so long that any chance that they could get a leg up and hopefully become a prominent team again, we're willing to look the other way.
I think the Browns became like a feel-good story of 2018. They were on Hard Knocks. The coach got fired. They started playing better. Baker Mayfield is fun. They were competitive even in a lot of their losses this season. They were competitive. I mean, Lord knows I was pulling for them the final game of the season to get the Steelers into the playoffs, and they almost pulled it off before Mayfield was intercepted. But there's a feeling like the Browns are putting together something that you're going to have to reckon with if you're in the AFC North. They're not the kick around team for two games on your schedule now. You may beat them twice, but you're going to beat them with some really strong effort. They're going to give you a tough, tough, tough battle. And you may not beat them twice. They may be that good. Listen, this is a very debatable topic when it comes to zero tolerance, right? You have two camps in this situation. There's the side that says because he shoved and kicked a woman, and we have video evidence of this. And by the way, props to TMZ Sports. They keep bringing this up when nobody else does. Nobody else gets this stuff. And then TMZ finds a way with, I don't know, probably some bribes or whatever they do to get this stuff to our attention, right?
Yeah, they must have a large hush money account or something like that. That just, you know, people are like, oh, no, I can't give it to you. Well, what if we offer you this? No, I can't. Well, how about this? Well, all right, yeah, I can do it for that.
Here you go. Here's the video.
And if you know, it's got to be like some, you know, hotel employee that is going in, you know, like, you know, in the dark of night after hours, stealing the tape and saying, here you go, sliding it, like almost a cloak and dagger type of move.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Right. I mean, is Harvey Levin running TMZ Sports? I'm assuming he is, right? Why wouldn't I assume otherwise?
And he knows the law.
He knows how to do this.
He knows how to get around it.
That's exactly right. So there's two sides of the coin, right? There's people who say because of this shoving and kicking a woman, he should never have another chance. But then there's advocacy groups for people who say, no, zero tolerance doesn't work. When you have zero tolerance, it puts those kind of individuals that need this kind of help with anger management, it doesn't allow us to get that individual into a position to be rehabilitated, to go to counseling, to determine those anger issues. Instead, when you have zero tolerance and everybody's on the outside looking into your life, you tend to retreat to old bad habits that get you into these problems in the first place. I see both sides of these. There's some part of me that's kind of like, I don't like the fact that he got a job so quickly.
Even though
he's going to be suspended, I get it. But, you know, talent always seems to outweigh these kind of issues, right?
And the other thing, the only thing I really, really hope for is that there is an absolute zero tolerance policy for him.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt.
If you're signing him and you're willing to put your organization's neck on the line for this, then there needs to be a clause in, like, any little thing. We're talking, you know, small potatoes. You got busted for a speeding ticket type of thing. Gone.
I think you can be personally outraged by this, but still understand the business side of football, that a talented guy, it just is the way it is, right? People bring these guys on all the time. If you can, remember we say this about Ray Rice all the time. Do not for one second think that Ray Rice didn't play again because every single owner in the league was on the moral high ground. If Ray Rice could have helped them, he would have on a team. Do not give the 32 owners or 31 in this city of Green Bay any sort of leeway here. Do not give them the credit they don't deserve. That Ray Rice was declining in his production. This added to that, and he did not get a job again in the league.
No,
but if he was productive,
easy.
He would have. It made the decision very easy. So let's hear from John Dorsey. Dorsey, the general manager of the Browns, said they did their research and they'd like to give him a second chance.
We've done our extensive research, and at the end of the day, in terms of doing our research, we came away that the act was egregious. He is extremely remorseful for that moving forward. And I've always believed that it is important moving forward to, if a person wants to better themselves moving forward and be a better person, I'm willing to give them a chance in terms of doing all the deep research I've done. I still believe that he will be a better man today than he was yesterday.
You know what I'd like to find out from people who were there, who watched this guy? Did he seem uncomfortable answering that question? Because listening to that, he seemed uncomfortable with this answer.
Not only that, but it sounded like he was standing in a kitchen.
I know, right? I mean, come on, have better acoustics in your press conferences. Here's Dorsey again saying, hey, listen, I saw what you saw and I didn't like it.
I think we're all appalled by it. It is an egregious act. We all understand that. But after doing our research, extensive research, analyzing the situation, we came to the conclusion that, you know what, I'm willing to help a man on a second chance moving forward to be a better person. And that's all you can ask for in society, and that's all I'm trying to do.
What research did they do? Did they talk to the woman? Because reports are they didn't even talk to the woman.
They did their research.
Yeah. What research did you do? Right. What? Tell me other than looking at his statistics, did you do?
I think, you know what I think it was? I think, you know, they spent 24 hours. They probably talked to the Chiefs front office, you know, figured out everything. Then maybe they got in touch with, you know, whoever Kareem Hunt is going to, where he's getting, you know, some sort of support group. Because, you know, that came out as well that, he has been getting, he's been getting more information, or I don't know if like class is not the right word, but you know, he's going to be trying, you know, anger management type of thing.
Right.
So maybe they talk to somebody who's directly involved with Kareem Hunt and just trying to find a way to, you know, are these people going to vouch for his character? So I'm thinking, you know, good 24 hours, maybe.
maybe. All right, so now you want to know. He's on the commissioner's exempt list. He's got to be taken off. He's going to get punished. He's going to get suspended some point. We just don't know what. But if he, when he clears that, he's a member of the Cleveland Browns in what capacity? Here's John Dorsey again telling you exactly what his future is going to be.
He understands and takes full accountability the egregious act that he committed. He is extremely remorseful for his actions. What he has done is he has sought professional counseling with regards moving forward in anything like this situation. Once he understands his situation, he is now working towards being a better man moving forward. By no means, from an organizational standpoint, is this a guarantee of anything. As we all know, you know, trust has to be earned, and that has to be earned with the Cleveland Browns organization and the community of Cleveland moving forward. So this will be a day-to-day thing in terms of earning trust.
Can I correct him on something, though, real quick, about when he says, what did he say, this is not a guarantee of anything?
Yep.
Can I correct him on something? He has an opportunity. He's guaranteed at least an opportunity to do the things necessary to get back in the National Football League. That's at least right now his reality, right? Before, he had no job. Now, at least he has a chance to comply with everything that the league and the Browns want, and he can then have a job again. So that's not nothing. That's something, right? He could have been Ray Rice. He could have been out of the league forever, right? But this is at least something. I mean, all right, it's not a guarantee that he's not going to supplant Nick Chubb, right? I mean, Nick Chubb's the running back. Maybe he will.
Maybe he will.
You don't know. But at least he has the opportunity now to do something. That seems to be bigger than nothing. That seems to be better than sitting on the couch waiting for the phone to ring. So
fielding calls from Vince McMahon.
Exactly right.
Hey, the XFL's 1 year away. You want to play?
Don't forget the XFL will be starting soon. You might want to consider that. And we got fine organ. You might talk to Bob Stoops in Dallas. He's looking for some talent. You might want to do that.
Yeah, so we'll see. 800-777-2907, the number. If you want to get in on this, is Kareem Hunt. Would you want your team to take him? Do you think the optics look bad for the Browns? Do you think the optics look good for the Browns to give a guy a second chance? 800-777-2907. Hit us up on Twitter at Tony D Radio. Also at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, please. On SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, we'll get to the phones in just a minute, but make your tax refund go further to O'Reilly Auto Parts. If you've been delaying some much-needed car maintenance, delay no longer. Spend a little of your tax refund on the vehicle now and save on expensive repairs down the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts is exactly what you need at a guaranteed low price. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. All right, let's go to Andy in Houston, who wants to talk about Kareem Hunt. You're next up on SB Nation AM. What's up, my friend?
Hey, there's only really two ways to look at this. If you don't want him to play anymore, and you find, you know, you have selective morality. And the reason is, cause there's been players in the NFL that have killed people behind the wheel that have been given a second chance to play in the NFL.
Sure.
You have NFL players with all these baby mamas out there, and you know they're not being the dads to these kids. They may be throwing money at them every month, but they're not being the fathers they need to be. And if you want to go look out what happens to fatherless children, 70% of people in jail have one thing in common. They grew up without a father in their life.
Yeah, but you know what? That's not a crime. If you're paying your child support, that's not a crime. Like, will be a crime. Like, this will be, like, whether or not they're pressed charges or not, the NFL would need to look at this as a crime. Like, you can't suspend a guy because he's not hanging out with his kid.
I'm not talking about suspension. I'm talking about if he should get another chance or not.
Oh, sure. Okay.
Which is all about morality.
The problem that you bring up, Andy. Hold on. The problem you bring up is the two sides of this issue, which is there's a legality side of it, right? He broke a law. What the criminal justice system does there, whether they press charges or not, secondary. But the league doesn't have to comply with that. The league can say, well, that's okay. You broke our law. We want to, there's 50% of our audience or whatever the dynamics are, the demographics. We have a whole bunch of women in this country that love NFL football, and we cannot have players who are doing this to women without any repercussions whatsoever. So I don't know if it's a morality thing as if it is a statement thing to say Kareem Hunt has to go through a certain process of suspension. certain process of being on the out looking in until he gets a second chance.
I have no problem with that because I find him 8 games, find him suspend him a whole year, but do not cut off what he does for a lifetime. I choose to forgive. I forgive. I'm a Christian. I'm told to forgive. And if we can't forgive in this society that we live in right now, we're all in a major hurt.
That's very true. Good. It's true. That's true. None of us are perfect. Do you forgive without any acts of any stipulations to that forgiveness? Meaning, do you forgive because you went to counseling? No. Do you forgive because he did, he spoke at groups about his act or whatever it was? Do you forgive with the stipulation that he's complying by a list of things to be a better person?
I forgive by his actions.
So if he's doing those things, right, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. If he messes up, and here's another thing, if he messes up again, he's gone. If he does, and the thing about it, he's been doing two things that what I've read. He's doing alcohol abuse and the anger management, because I believe he was dead drunk when he did that.
Yeah,
so that's good that he's done that. He hasn't been charged. Look at my Houston Astros. We got a guy that was charged. He got off in court, but he was charged, and we got him 2/3 in the year. The reliever, I forgot his name, Osuno, I believe.
Yeah, Osuno.
But there have been guys, literally, there have been football players kill people behind the wheel being drunk, and they've given a second chance in the NFL.
Yep. Andy, good call, man. Appreciate it, brother. Thanks a lot. I understand that sentiment. I don't want a guy to be banned for life, because I'm with Andy in this regard. I do believe that there's some real, that there can be redemption. There can be, if they're walking around and not in jail, there's a chance for redemption. The problem that I have with this league is it doesn't know per se how to make a morality play because of what Andy talked about. What the Ray Rice situation, as Ron and I talked about, was not a morality move by the league. It was a performance move by the league.
No,
right,
but let's get off of Ray Rice. You know, if we're gonna do a morality move, how the Patriots treated Aaron Hernandez,
because exactly.
There's someone who was in the middle of a career, a really good career. I mean, on a championship winning team, obviously accused of a whole bunch of stuff, and then when he got cut by the Patriots, every team was like, no way.
Yeah, not only that, the Patriots, I felt like, had an investigation before the police had an investigation.
Yeah,
right? They let him go the second they were going to his house. Like, they were going to, the Patriots were like, yeah, we're cutting ties. They didn't go, well, we do want to see how this plays out. We want to take a look at the evidence. We want to, obviously we need to find out more, but yeah,
was
we
it
stand
really
by
just
our
a
teammate.
Murder or, yeah. Did he just fall on a gun?
Yeah, exactly. So, but the Patriots were like, nah, we're done. Goodbye. Yeah. Thanks a lot. We appreciate your service, but you're out.
But I think that's, it's because I know we always go back to the Ray Rice situation, but yeah, Ray Rice, he was on his way out anyways. He wasn't performing at the level.
He was averaging 3 yards a carry.
And it's kind of like what we talked about in the last hour when we were talking about Kyler Murray, that when you hit 30, that's usually the end of a career for running back.
Exactly. You're 30 and you're averaging 3 yards, whatever it's three and change a carry. You're not on everybody's wish list.
Yeah, they would have kept him around for sentimental value, but that decision, when he, Cole cocked his wife in that elevator, that made the decision extremely easy.
Easy.
God, we're done.
Listen.
One's going to think twice about it.
I don't want to sound insensitive to the issue, but listen, we shouldn't be surprised at this. He's an extremely talented football player that wasn't going to just sit on a couch for the rest of his life.
No, of course not.
The league was always going to look at – there was always going to be a conversation in offices whether or not when it would be okay to bring him back, when can we talk about bringing him back. And the Browns said, nah, now. How about now? And they went, yeah, sure.
We did this – I think we talked about it last – I know for a fact. We talked about it last week with the fact of was it Missouri? Missouri reaching out to Art Briles?
Oh, Southern Miss.
Southern Miss, thank you. Them reaching out to Art Briles. And, with Art Briles, it's a different situation. I think what we're doing here is we're making the exception that, Hey, Kareem Hunt, you're a young kid. You are stupid. You are dumb. and there's plenty of left in your career where hopefully you've gotten the help. Hopefully you join some advocacy groups to, you know, kind of make up for, you know, that egregious night and to, you know, hopefully better yourself as a human being, as opposed to where Art Briles, where it was years long, just burying it under the rug of, you know, his letting his football players just run rampant through Baylor.
And there was also in the Art Briles situation, there was optics that the president had to take into consideration that the football coach Jay Hobson didn't have to take into consideration, which is the president is trying to tell everybody that goes to Southern Miss or will go to Southern Miss that there is a standard here and that your kids are going to be safe, especially you young ladies that are coming to Southern Miss. Jay Hobson is looking at it as Art Briles made a mistake, but boy, he's got a brilliant offensive mind and I have an opening for an offensive coordinator, and this fraternity is pretty tight. So the president is looking at it through the optics of, I can't bring a guy that didn't do anything about his football players raping women on his campus when he had the power to do so. I can't bring him here and then tell the parents of women that are coming to Southern Miss that the girls are going to be safe. Like, exactly. I can't do that. Like, but Jay Hobson's looking at it from a standpoint of, oh, you know, I need an offensive mind. The Browns don't have those optics, right? The Browns are trying to say to their female fans, look, there's a list of things he's going to have to do, right? Like, we're not just forgiving this and moving on and he's going to be our running back. There are things we want to make sure you know that we know that he's going to have to do in order to get a job with us again. In the league, I should say, not just with the Browns. That's what John Dorsey was trying to do in his press conference, right? Yeah, he kept saying egregious.
I think, you know, one of the things he needs to do is, you know, there's always those houses for battered women.
Yes.
Battered and abused women.
You
need to go sponsor that. You need to be there every single day.
Yep. I agree. All right. Coming up next, Kyler Murray. Is it bad for baseball that Murray isn't playing and instead going to the NFL? We'll talk about that next. SB Nation Radio.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Blue Emu, Lidocaine Cream, and Maximum Arthritis Cream, both deep penetrating and odor-free. Beat the pain two ways and live life. Blue Emu, it works fast. And you won't stink. Available at nationwide retailers. So Kyler Murray heading to the NFL. He is projected to be a first-round draft pick by somebody. By the way, do you think he could be the number one overall pick if Cliff Kingsbury says, oh, yeah, I'll get rid of Josh Rosen? I'll jump on this Kyler Murray train. Or do you think it was all fluff and talk?
No, I mean, I've heard that from a couple, you know, I'm using the quotation, draft experts, because I don't know how anyone's ever a draft expert.
It's a hard thing to be.
But I've heard that, you know, he could be the number one overall pick. I just can't see the Cardinals doing that.
No, I can't either.
But
like,
at the
like
same
that's
time,
a big risk.
But at the same time, Josh Rosen wasn't Cliff Kingsbury's pick.
No, he's the new head coach of the Cardinals. He likes Kyler Murray a lot. I'm sure he's looking at him and like, hey, you know what? I could do some things here with Kyler Murray, and I'm really excited about the opportunity. Maybe he does do that convincing of the Arizona Cardinals brass that taking Kyler Murray number one and finding another home for Josh Rosen is where they should go.
Yeah,
but man, what a waste of a first round pick if you're taking Josh Rosen and a year later you're dumping him for another one.
Well, you know what? I mean, Josh Rosen, that pick never really set well with me anyways.
Oh, yeah.
Rosen has a bit of an attitude.
Still, though, I mean, just you just basically lost a first-round pick.
No, I get that.
You're supposed to have a guy that's supposed to last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, whatever. Now you're
trade Rosen to get another
pick?
Another pick.
You think Jacksonville would be, like, eating this up?
I would hope.
Maybe we'll get Josh Rosen, and then we get to keep our pick for something else we need. Maybe so. Maybe the Giants, yeah. Kyler Murray could go to a lot of places. I'm more concerned, not really concerned, that's the wrong word. I'm more interested. That's a better word. On the impact of baseball. This is a bad look for baseball. To have Kyler Murray go, nah, I'm out. I'm going to go to the more dangerous sport.
You know, I'm glad you brought that up because I wanted to talk about Verlander's comments as well.
Yeah, because Verlander said that free agency is broken.
And you got to look at it going, yeah, I mean, you know, Kyler Murray is turning his – I mean, you know, baseball for after the steroid era was kind of lost. And it's slowly been – I feel like it's slowly been building itself back up. It's building its reputation back up again with all these young players. And then we're coming into this season and it just feels like, oh, my God, they're taking a gigantic step back again.
I know. That's what I'm thinking about. It's just right now baseball doesn't seem to be in a good spot, right? It's they can't find landing spots for two of the biggest free agents, right? They, Kyler Murray, like, look, I don't know what Kyler Murray was going to do. We all like to pretend that he'd be a superstar with the A's. I have no idea. I have no idea. He could have gone there and just been average. He could have been okay. He could have been a bust. He could have been a star. I have no idea. But when you have a, like when you have the NFL that has gone through so much negativity in its game. Right. You got people on this, you know, people saying I'm dying because I played NFL football back in the day and had 35 concussions in my career or whatnot. When you have this sport that's been plagued by that, where participation in youth was declining. I don't know if it's back. I don't know if it's gone back up. But I remember there was a series of years where the big news was youth participation plummeting. Right. Schools in small rural areas that used to be able to field a team were now canceling it because they couldn't field a team anymore. So used to be like, well, we had a student body of like 300 kids and we still had a football team. And now it's we don't have enough kids to go out for football. So we go 7-man football, whatever it is. Now you have one of the premier athletic stars of the day say, yeah, no, I'm a NFL guy. This is what I want. I want to do this over another sport that's could keep me healthy, could keep me, give me longevity, could still give me millions and millions of dollars, but I want to go where that is. I want to go whatever that is. My love for that exceeds my those other issues. And I think it's a bad look for baseball. Because what people are talking about with the NFL is Kyler Murray gets to play. Like if he's a top pick, two things are going to happen to him. Either one, he's going to be behind a veteran quarterback for some team and just kind of wait it out until that, you know, basically gets the job. Or two, he's going to start right away. Yep. So he's going to be in a position to be a big, big, big part of what the team is doing. He's going to be the biggest name going in. Because he's either going to be a starting quarterback or everyone's going to want him to be the starting quarterback.
And not only that, but there's no way I see him falling past the second round.
No, I don't either. No, that's what I was saying earlier, right? There's going to be these analysts who say, well, he's a third round, fourth round nope. pick. No, no, he's not. You may evaluate him as that in a normal draft. But there's no
but then
way.
There's the intangibles.
There's the intangibles. There's no way. There's no way this kid is going to the combine and people are coming away going, "Whoops! Oh boy! Yikes! He's gonna
should've
wow
played
them.
Baseball.
Should have played baseball.
That's none of that's gonna be said.
You know, with that old veteran scout, like, come here, kid. Let me tell you something. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but get back to the A's and tell them I've been doing this game for a long time and you just don't have it, whatever it is.
Go back and get your $4 million.
Exactly. No chance. No chance. So he's going in round one. I don't know where that he's going in round one.
And I don't even think he's going to get the Aaron Rodgers treatment.
No, I don't either. No.
And if you don't know what we're talking about, just Google Aaron Rodgers at the draft.
Boy, oh boy.
Just sitting there.
Well, the next seven teams have quarterbacks, so I guess we'll have to wait till pick.
Yep. Oh, 15. No, they didn't go with him either. They went offensive lineman, who exactly. We've never heard of.
Now, Murray is going to be, he's going to be one of the predominant quarterbacks. So we're going to be wondering where he's going, who needs a quarterback, who's willing to trade up to get him, whatever. Whatever it is. Broncos need a quarterback, for example. The Broncos have the ninth pick in the draft, I think, or ninth or tenth. Well, they're in the top ten. They need a quarterback. They love Drew Locke out of Missouri, but if he's not available, what about Kyler Murray? Yeah. There's going to be a conversation about that. So again, I think it's intoxicating for him to want to stay in football where he's just coming off one of the most successful seasons in college football history, at least at Oklahoma. Just enjoying the adrenaline, and then baseball is kind of a big letdown. And it's the old timers too of baseball. They're just like, well, you got to earn your way to the major league roster. And kids don't want to do that. Listen,
no, not this generation. They want it now.
What do you want to do? You want to be a professional baseball player in Rancho Cucamonga, or do you want to be a starting quarterback at Oklahoma? You take the starting quarterback job at Oklahoma, even if it doesn't pay anything, because of just the sport in and of itself and the level of the sport at Oklahoma.
Or now
you're going to then you're going to take that. So you're going to choose, you would choose Oklahoma over Rancho Cucamonga. And then now you're asking the same person, okay, so you chose Oklahoma over Rancho Cucamonga. How about the NFL over Rancho Cucamonga? What do you think the answer is going to be?
Exactly. Of course. What if it is Jacksonville?
Right.
I mean, it's a franchise that has just been, you know, borderline Brown-esque for so long. And maybe he's not even the starting quarterback. Maybe he's second string. You know, or pick any team anywhere. Second, you know, he's the second string. He's the guy holding the clipboard sitting for a year. Would you rather be that guy or the guy playing in Rancho Cucamonga?
Right. And no offense to those of you in Rancho Cucamonga.
No, not at all. It's a great town. Like, I've been there many a times.
Well, you could play for the Albuquerque Isotopes.
Yes.
Right? Are you?
We're just picking out fun names.
We're just picking out fun names. So again, it's for baseball, this is just not the look that you're looking for when you have right now free agency is kind of a disaster. You've got a possible lockout coming up. They're talking about changing rules that just they don't seem good. Yeah, right?
This free agency thing, I mean, what Verlander's comments were about, I mean, you know, with, you know, there being 100 guys and none of them are being picked. And everyone's like, oh, we're looking to rebuild our franchise. And you can't figure out a way to, you know, shell out some money for two guys, like two of the premier guys in the league.
Yeah, and you know what else? You know what else is troubling? And is there the conspiratorial thought that while it's not collusion in a traditional way, it's almost like all the major league teams got together and said, no $300 million.
Yeah.
Nobody do it. Right? And everybody goes, nah, we're not going to do it. You don't do it. I won't do it. We all won't do it. It's not collusion in the traditional way, but it's collusion in a way of they're all in the same mindset that this is not the direction we need to be going.
Do you think Harper's having second thoughts, you know, regrets about going, man, I turned down 10 years, 300 from the Nationals because I was told I could get, you know, 350, 400 someplace else.
I agree completely. I mean, you've got columns being written where people are begging the Yankees just to step in and end this. Right? Like, just sign Harper. Just do it. And the Yankees are like, I don't know.
But the Yankees don't need an outfielder.
I don't need an outfielder. We don't need Bryce. George Steinbrenner would have not only given Bryce Harper anything he wanted, he probably would have tried to clone Bryce Harper and make him all three outfield positions. Are you kidding?
Even though he didn't need it. He doesn't need it. I mean, that team does not need an outfielder. He would have been like, I'll make a rule and we'll have four outfielders.
See, you know why the Yankees aren't going after Bryce Harper? Because the Red Sox don't need Bryce Harper. If the Red Sox even had slightest interest in him, the Yankees would have eaten him alive.
Well, there we go. That's right? All it's needed. Guys, don't just pray for the Yankees to sign him. Say, Red Sox, hint that you're going to sign him.
That's all you need. And then the Yankees would be like, he's not going to Boston.
Swoop in and take care of it.
That's how A-Rod ended up with the Yankees. Once Boston was in the pitch, right? Well, look, we want A-Rod. The Yankees are like, wait a minute. Hold on. What? You want who? Oh, great. All right, fine. Well, thank God Aaron Boone got hurt because now we need a third baseman. Oh, he doesn't want to play third base? Oh, he'll play third base. Bring him aboard. Right? I mean, that's just how it goes, right? That's how the Yankees and Red Sox have done this forever. So because of the Red Sox are like, nah, we're good. They're like, the Yankees are like, yeah, we're good too.
Yep.
We're fine.
Now, we're told we have enough hitters anyways. We need pitching.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Plus, I think Rob Manfred would just roll his eyes if he saw that Yankee lineup and be like, oh, God, really?
Again?
Again?
Again with the, you know, trying to build murderer's row.
Right? We're going to just hit home runs every at-bat? Is that what we're doing? God.
Chicks dig the long ball.
They do dig the long ball. That is for sure. That is for sure. So I wish Kyler Murray the best. I think this is, more I think about it, it's probably the right choice. Boy, I probably would have chosen the NFL. I probably wouldn't have wanted to give any of that up. Are you kidding? I wouldn't have wanted to give any of that up. That big man on campus feeling, that'd be hard to disappear. 800-777-2907. Tony D, Ron Culver, SB Nation AM.
Hi, this is Mike Herzing. Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. Car accidents happen every day. Odds are you'll have one someday. I hope it's a small one. But if it happens, well, you know what to do. Please tell us to make sure no one's hurt and move our cars out of the way of traffic, if we can. Then call 911 and they'll tell us what to do next. I tell my family to stay calm, make sure everybody's safe. Then get your phone and start taking photos and recording contact information of the other driver and any witnesses. Then get photos of the scene and the other car. Don't admit blame or blame anybody. We've all seen stories change and people drive away, never to be heard of again. And you're the one left on the side of the road with the wrecked car. But car is just stuff. It can be replaced, but people can. So let's be safe. Mike Herzing, Let's Talk Wheels, an automotive tip brought to you by the great folks at Jeep. For more tips, go to the new letstalkwheels.com. That's the new letstalkwheels.com.
To celebrate the Jeep President's Day event, we're creating our own motorcade of the most awarded, best-selling SUV brand ever to hit the road and explore what lies beyond it. Leading the procession is Jeep Wrangler, American legend, and the 2019 Motor Trend SUV of the Year. Following close is Jeep Grand Cherokee, the most awarded SUV ever, and versatile Jeep Compass with its class-leading technology and connectivity. And rounding it all out is Jeep Cherokee with its nimble 31 mpg highway. But great deals on this motorcade will be coming to an end soon. So hurry in today to the Jeep President's Day event. The Jeep brand and Jeep Grand Cherokee have received more awards over their lifetime than any other SUV or SUV brand. Based on compact SUV segmentation, OEM website, auto knowledge, EPA estimated 4-cylinder, 4x2. Actual mileage may vary. Jeep is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios alongside Ron Culver. Here's Tony D.
Ron, when I was in Atlanta, I went to the Coca-Cola World, the Coca-Cola Museum in Atlanta. Kind of can't miss it. It's right there in the park. And so I kind of enjoyed it. It was kind of a neat, like, historical view of the product of Coke, and they showed how it was made back in the day and secret formula and everything. There's a new flavor coming out called orange vanilla. Do you like creamsicles at all? Because apparently it tastes like a creamsicle.
Yeah, they're not bad. That'd be weird, though.
Yeah, so this is going to be a new flavor of Coke, a creamsicle tasting soda, which is, kind of good. So we'll see. I don't know if I like, I kind of like creamsicles, but I don't know if I like it in a soda form. By the way, this hour of SB Nation Radio is presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. So I don't miss, like, the cool thing about sodas is that you can get all sorts of cool flavors. Have you ever gone to one of those freestyle machines?
Are you talking about, like, where you just push buttons?
Yeah, like, yes. Like, I like a diet soda and I like it with grape.
They're fantastic.
They are great, aren't they?
God, there's like a million different combinations. My kids just like going to this one restaurant because they have that.
Yes,
there's
exactly.
There's no other reason for them. I mean, it's, you know, they have great chicken fingers, and the kids do eat them, and they like that. But that's not the appeal for them. The appeal for them is just going there. I mean, you remember back when we were kids and we would call them suicides.
Suicides, right.
Because you'd
right.
get like, you know, you had like 7 flavors to choose from and you'd get a little bit of every single one. And it was the greatest thing on the planet. I watch my kids over here. They can spend an hour at this thing. It's like a video game.
Yeah, no, I did the exact same thing. The moment we went to one place that had this, the first time I ever saw it, I remember every time I would think about going out to get something to eat, I thought about, well, obviously we're going to this place again to try grape Coke Zero or grape Fresca or whatever, you know, just a million different combinations.
You know, and I'm brilliant. You know, typically when I go to a restaurant, I'm a water guy. Yeah. But whenever I see one of those, it's like, oh no, give me the regular soft drink. I'm going back a couple of times.
Orange vanilla soda. Well, yeah, we'll see. I'm actually surprised in 2019 we've come up with that. Surprised that wasn't a flavor back in like 1895. Figuring it out. SB Nation Radio, it's SB Nation AM.